Let's bring in the big guy, Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us every Tuesday. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, stocks, bonds, the Giants, the Mets, the Yankees.
Tiger
Woods. Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Jim?
I'm terrific. And you guys, how are you doing?
Very good. You know, when you're 66 and you see a 43-year-old beat out a bunch of 20-year-olds, you really say to yourself, way to go, Tiger. You made me feel 10 years younger.
Oh, come
on. Also get it.
You're going to be out there line dancing this weekend.
No,
I know
no.
You're a little bit better than... Yeah. You see that? You sit up a little straighter in your resting chair? I mean, come on. No, it should be more motivational than that.
It was very motivational. It was very motivational. Anyways, is that
anyhow, you segued to the fire at Notre Dame, that incredible, incredible cathedral. And first off, the firemen were absolutely incredible. They contained the fire. Literally an hour, because I watched the whole thing as the day progressed. Literally an hour before they contained it, some politicians were saying, oh, I don't think they can save it. In other words, they would be completely demolished. But they saved it. They saved the towers. They saved the foundation. They got a tremendous amount of the great art and statuary and relics out. And to do that, they had to go into Notre Dame, which was on fire, and fiery debris was coming down upon them. However, tremendous credit to their professionalism. There was only one injury to a firefighter. Other than that, we got off scot-free, no loss of human life. And, you know, I was watching them with the hoses and so forth, and I said, oh, my God, when will this end? They did an incredible job, and it was so stirring. When obviously things were getting a little contained, but even prior to that, the people of Paris came out and they started singing and praying as they watched the blaze, indicative, in my opinion, of hope. Hope never goes away. And they were hoping the flames would be contained. They were hoping that they'd live for another day. They were hoping that there would be a rebuilding process. And indeed, Macron, the head of the French government, pledged to rebuild. Already there's lots of millions of dollars from French business and so forth coming in.
One guy came up with a $100 million donation.
Well, there's Arnaud and Pinault.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, but a lot of, Marshall pointed this out. And remember, It is a UN. It's a heritage site, but they were having their own difficulties raising the money
to maintain it and to restore it. That's why it was taking them forever to restore it. And now with what happened, which is a horrible thing that happened, but because basically the firemen saved everything except for the heavy metal roof and any of the wood on the interior. They've got a structure that they can work with to bring it back and revitalize.
The thing is, this fire woke people up
to
the treasure they have. I had the wonderful experience of being in that church for an extended period of time. And I can remember being in the nave and looking up at those windows. I mean, it is an incredible experience. And then as you look down the aisle and look upward, it's as if it never ends. There's such a quality to it. I haven't been to that many churches. I've been to Saint Michel. I've been to Saint Patrick's.
Have you been
to the Vatican? But by far, this church has. There's something there, and little wonder. It took them 200 years to build it, starting in 1100. They finished it in 1300. This church was started before the United States was even a glimpse in the eye of the citizens who were getting away from the Brits.
And the church...
It has experienced bombing in the Second World War. The Rockefellers came in the U.S. and gave them the money to rebuild. They were there for things like the crowning of Napoleon. all kinds of history is in this place, but it has its own beauty. And just kind of finishing up, I think Lawrence O'Donnell said it well last night at about 10:15. He's a great, great guy. You should watch him once in a while. When he said, civilization, we build and then we rebuild. It's just like the Trade Center. We didn't exactly build the same thing, but we didn't lie down. We built. So I would hope that the people throughout the world, many of whom feel akin to the Notre Dame, will pick up that spirit and incorporate it into their own personal lives in terms of their difficulties and challenges and concerns. Hope springs eternal, and it indeed does. So those firefighters, marvelous. God bless them. God bless France. God bless the Parisians.
Yeah, you know, and
let me be frank.
You look at that church and just think of the history that it has gone through, two world wars, a revolution, you want to name it. And to think of the construction in that building, that it's amazing to think that it was constructed when it was constructed. Amazing. It's just, you think about it. What a feat. What a feat.
You know, I'm not an architectural buff, but you know that this building used flying buttresses, something which became used in large buildings going forward. This is an 1100, folks.
Yeah.
No, it was, shall we say, ahead of its time, to be trite. No, it's the flying buttresses. And, you know, anyone who has been has their own personal memories. Anyone who has not been has, but who has studied any architecture or anything, has seen those gargoyles. They've seen the flying buttresses. They've seen, there's literally something for everybody. And I think that what you mention is worth emphasizing, and that is, with any luck, it woke a bunch of people up to life perhaps outside their little 4x6 or whatever that is.
I was very pleased to hear the French commentators, the American commentators. They all came around to the point that this is a Catholic church, but this is the world's church.
Yeah, no, it's a,
It's truly that iconic. And it's not just its beauty. It's, as Marshall was just saying, the experience, the human experience or experiences that went on in and around that church are pretty monumental.
I would say so. It's amazing. It's an unfolding part of history that when you go there, everybody has a different feeling about what they see and what they know and what they think. It really is. And like I said, I've only seen pictures of it. I've only heard about it and read about it. But it's iconic. That's all you can say. It's just a structure that is iconic. And I'm glad they saved what they saved so they can rebuild it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Well, God bless the people in France and the best in terms of rebuilding. I'm certain they'll do it well. They've got to do it well to honor the way this cathedral was built now, many centuries ago.
I want to change topics, okay? And you know you're probably going to be mad at me because I'm going to change this topic, but not many else are covering it except for Politico and The Hill. But the Democratic Party had better get their panties off, their leak-proof panties, and put on real pants like real men and real skirts like real women, and understand that you can't block Fox. Bernie Sanders went on Fox last night for 1 hour and proved that you not only can survive, I don't know if you saw it, Jim, but it was an amazing hour.
I didn't see it. I was involved in this other thing.
If you Google it and watch it, because he was truly terrific, and at one point they were badgering about Medicare for All.
Right.
And at one point the male, I forget who it was, asked the crowd, okay, who has health insurance now, whether it's private? And 90% of the crowd raised their hand, right? Then thinking that he's going to really knock down Bernie said, who wants to see Medicare for all? Jim, just about everybody in the place raised their hand.
But what was really good about it is he explained it was a fabulous opportunity to puncture chivalrous around. He's like, Medicare for all doesn't mean free. There's just a bunch of things that were filtered into the brain pans of people that need to be said. And what was absolutely, with all due respect, wonderful about it is this is what seasoned, reasoned discourse and debate looks like. It's not saying agree with me or you're a cow. It's, hey, yeah, here's actually what we're talking about, not this distorted version that's been reduced to a headline. And you don't have to like it, but you have to understand it.
The crowd actually, Fox was, I'm surprised they did not pick the crowd better, because that crowd booed the Fox people at some times, and they just gave Bernie Sanders a resounding reception.
Yeah, and
well, this is where I disagree with Tom Perez when he, I guess a month or so ago, said he wasn't going to get it together with Fox News. This is so stupid. First of all, that's giving up a segment of the population that is pretty aggressive in its thoughts on politics. Getting on Fox News gives you an opportunity to show these folks who you are and what you are. So I hope the other Democrats will get beyond Tom Perez, who's a lovely fellow, and get themselves on Fox, because the Democrats have got to talk to everybody. If they say they are for the country, then they must talk to everybody, even though they know that some of those people they're talking to are not necessarily with them. However, even Democrats who they're talking to are not necessarily with them on every. We need to get this country together. We need to get a sane person in the White House, but we need to bring the country back together. We have been damaged. We have been injured by this negative gotcha, my way or the highway. And it's not just from the White House. It's countless people in our country have adopted that approach. The only way we can have a chance, I'm not saying win, but a chance, winning them over, a chance is get on the air and have them listen. And you just struck the chord, healthcare. That's what 2018 was all about. We knew it before. We knew it now after the election. Healthcare, job equality, and the environment. The Democrats have got to stick with those 3 points. They can do all this other stuff, okay? But they've got to have... We used to call them sales points, but this is more than a sales point. This is something for the American people, for the American citizen, that hits home. People are further behind now than they've been in ages. I'm not talking about the whole country. I'm talking about something like 50% of our population is going backwards. I think we mentioned that Roy Dalio put out a study on it. We've got to change that, and that's why this job equality is so important. But it's about people. It's about people, and the people on Fox who are listening to Fox, watching Fox, they've got some of the same problems everybody else does in terms of health care, in terms of getting a better job, in terms of getting their kids educated. So I just hope that Bernie Sanders' example is followed, and all the Democrats get on there.
Well, I hope that it wakes up the Democratic National Committee, and I'm no big fan of Fox. I mean, after the debate was over, I put the filter back on my TV. But I do believe that you have to present your candidates, especially areas that the Democrats lost last time and not be afraid of it and include Fox in the debates. Come on, this is America. You know, you might not like the fact that Donald Trump's on Fox all the time and Fox is back. You might hate that fact, but you know what?
If you're going to lead, you're just going to really have to figure out how to talk to people.
There's 35% of the American population that are Fox people. There's no doubt about it. And if you want to even get, I mean, what if Bernie Sanders, by going in there, turned over now on television, let's say he turned over 100,000 people that said, you know what, I might vote for him. I mean,
you just don't know. But if he did that, then you have to really hope they're not New York Times subscribers who came out with a Jonathan Martin special on April 16th. That would be today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes, right.
It's the headline is Stop Sanders. Democrats are agonizing over his momentum.
You know,
it is straight. What people absolutely must remember is that each outlet has its particular agenda brought upon them by its particular people. And you just should not, and I'm sorry for being blunt, this is my opinion, but you shouldn't fool yourself that just because it's the blank, it means blank. It tells you the whole story. No, it's as slanted as the blank, the blank, the blank, and the blank.
I hope that Bernie Sanders helps the Democrats create a new approach. They've been making a mistake about treating Donald Trump's base as sacrosanct. They put them off in the corner. They don't deal with them. The way you deal with them is simply get on the air. The other thing is, or Democrats, or many people, have surrendered Fox to Donald Trump. They've surrendered it. It's not that Fox is just it's a tank for Donald Trump. People on the other side have given up on it. So Sanders' contribution here is incredible. I just hope it gets followed up on.
Absolutely, that's the whole thing. And when you look at Bernie's, basically the pack is all going to follow Bernie on this. And once again, he's going to be a man that's ahead of his time. I'm not saying he's a perfect candidate. Yeah, people know I'm a Bernie supporter. There's no doubt about it. But I just think the man who went through a year and a half to lose to Hillary Clinton really has gained the experience, and I think the Democrats had better start taking Bernie Sanders seriously.
Oh,
I agree.
They are. They're just, as you read the article, you'll see the Stop Sanders movement has got to get into gear if they're going to do so. It's just like, guys.
Two things, because I feel the hook. One, I will Google Bernie Sanders. Two, it's very important that you read the news. The Attorney General, the current Attorney General, Barr, when he was Attorney General in 1989, issued a report for the DOJ. It was a summary of what he found in the Iran Contra thing. He wouldn't give them the full report. 3 years later, when he was out of office, that report was found. And it was discovered that Barr had inaccurately reported things. This is very key as we go into the next several days or several weeks. This man was in the tank for the president in 1989, and it would appear he's in the tank now. Please read up on this, because this is what we call an affront on our liberty, that a person who is so powerful is basically trying to fix the game. Now, we're going to overcome it. We've got enough subpoenas going on now that...
Well, I was going to say the difference between now and then is Ronald Reagan had control of the Senate and House then. And that's why it took 3 years for that report to come out. Not going to happen this time. It's a short time, but within 2 or 3 months,
there will be
enough details out there that everybody. You wait and see. Everybody.
I totally concur with what you're saying, but I do think that if people have not seen this report, they should see that report.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It might help them understand bars, bobbing and weaving. One other thing, Jill brought this to our attention. I'm sorry we don't have more time to it. But if you go to NewYorker.com, the man's name is L-U-O. He has a marvelous article on getting yourself together in disciplining yourself and getting more out of the news when you approach it. And overly simplistically, he just takes his New York Times. It can be any newspaper. New York Times, he does it in the morning, and do it a little later, and then he'll go elsewhere where he might want to find something. But he's finding, as I do, that the print stays with you, it's more substantial, and it's actually a little relaxing rather than the technology.
Simply because you have to use your peripheral vision, because there are many things on a page, which is the purpose of layout, which seems to have been completely forgotten in this, hey, let's shrink it all down to the size of a Dick Tracy wrist receiver thing.
Right. Please read this. April 10th, NewYorker.com. Very important. In there, he shows how people use algorithms to give news to people who they think want to hear that kind of news, independent of what might be factual, etc. This is what technology is doing to us. And lastly, Karen Swisher, a lady who runs Code, C-O-D-E, very smart, very out there on things like Facebook and so forth. This is her game. This is her life, okay? She basically thinks we're killing ourselves with this digital stuff. Now, she's a pro. She's in the business. You might say if she was selfish, she wouldn't say this. But she's saying it. Now, this is not something that many of us don't know. But we have to get our hands around this. And
she's been saying it for years, by the way. Kara Swisher has been saying this very methodically for years, and she's not the only one. It just doesn't get covered. So there you go.
Okay, well, we're covering it, or she's covering it.
All right.
All right, let me get over here. I have to practice my line dancing.
All right, I want you to do that because we want to make sure and watch out for your hip.
Okay. All right, you have a great party. Good
all
to
right.
talk to you.
Take care.
God bless you. Bye-bye. See you. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, you can find Jim online. RobinhoodRadio.com. Click on demand. Click on Jim Lynch. Cover Your Assets.